are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Sorry, just waiting for the truck to go past. Okay, this is Dead Queen Walking, which is the fourth and final installment of the Castle Charming series. Dead Queen Walking, Chapter 14, At Home with Team Charming. Day 1. Dennis was not sure what Queen Ella had expected her left-behind sons to contribute to the clean-up from last night's beanstalk fight, let alone the plans for the royal birthday gala. But Prince Chase and Prince Cyrus interpreted her commands in their own special way and spent the day in their rooms, avoiding each other and everyone else. Dennis, rostered on to Prince Chase's detail, spent the morning sitting in a corridor, playing cards with Corporal Fergus. Downstairs, Amira was in an entirely unsurprising fashion, handling everything the Queen had been requested be done for the gala. She hired 4 interns to help her, including one whose only job was carrying around all the necessary spreadsheets for pulling off a major castle happening. "It'll be all right, you know," Fergus remarked, he mimed the climbing of a beanstalk with stunning accuracy. "I do improv classes," he added, when Dennis stared. "I know it'll be all right," Dennis muttered back, which was a lie. "I just hate, not being there." "Never mind," said Fergus cheerfully. "Maybe something really dreadful will happen here while they're gone. You'll be glad you were here to help deal with it." Dennis stared again. "You're a comfort and a blessing. Glad I could help, mate." Day 2. "You have to help me," demanded the voice of a prince. It didn't matter which prince, because it wasn't going to be the one he wanted. Dennis pretended to still be asleep. It was morning. His morning off. New Sarge refused to give extra time off, despite the extreme lack of royals left in the castle to protect. But there was only so much marching in formation and standing usefully on the turrets of the roof that even that red-faced blusterer could enforce. Dennis wasn't sleeping so well these days. The fact that he dropped off at all was a miracle. He did not need to deal with any prince he was not currently in love with this early in the morning if he was not being paid for it. Someone jumped on his bed and smacked him on the chest. "Hound!" complained the whiny prince. "I know you have manners," Dennis grunted, too tired to put on any facade of diplomacy. "I've seen him in action, around other people." Prince Chase loomed over him, thoroughly dishevelled and still in his pyjamas, which cost more than most people would spend on a pair of winter boots, if not 4 pairs of winter boots. "I need your help," he demanded imperiously. "Is this how you wake Jack up? No wonder she gets a tension headache whenever you walk into a room." "That's horribly accurate." Chase looked glum. "I miss her." "Is that why you woke me up?" "No!" The prince bounced again, genuinely fretful. "I need you to protect me." "Check the duty roster." "Not protect me, protect me." Chase looked genuinely haunted. "I think Prince Zeolin's mother is trying to seduce me. And the other one, Ziggy's mother. And the third one, too. They keep giving me these looks and suggestive touches." Dennis put a pillow over his face. "Doesn't seem like the sort of thing that would bother you." "I know. They're very attractive, as older ladies go, but there's something unsettling about their flirtations. It gives me a bad feeling, and usually when I have a bad feeling, I run away from things and drink a lot." "Do that then," said Dennis from beneath his pillow. "Normally, I would lean into any inappropriate seduction," Chase continued, as if he hadn't heard Dennis, "to annoy my father. But he's not here, and, well, he would shout a lot and threaten to lock me up or whatever. But Mother? I think she'd genuinely murder me with one of her actual swords. It makes me want to be on my best behaviour. I don't like it. Besides, this is suspicious, right? Last I heard, the Royal Mum Brigade wanted me to marry Zeolin or Ziggy. So what are they up to? And why all three of them? Am I supposed to bed them all together? Dennis huffed and removed the pillow. What exactly do you want me to do? Investigate, hissed Chase. That's what you do, right? I need you to find out why the royal ladies of Zix are after me.
Maybe they find you very attractive.
Wow, you made that sound convincing.
Dennis rolled his eyes, like you don't know you're pretty.
Chase smirked. La, sir.
Almost as pretty as my boyfriend.
Oh, right. Chase frowned. I forgot about that. Look, it's simple. I want you to stick to me all day and make sure I don't bed any attractive older ladies that are throwing themselves at me. Got it? Good.
Day 4. Amira started complaining from the moment Dennis let her out of the castle. She kept complaining all the way along the path towards the rookery pitch. I have so much to do. I don't know why you think this is remotely relevant to...
Take 10 minutes. It's important, he told her.
She continued to huff and complain until they reached the slope overlooking the green field. Prince Cyrus was at his usual morning exercises, shirt off, muscles gleaming in the early sunshine. The royal mothers of Zix sat in the stands in their formal silks, unmoving as they watched the prince, with a collective gaze that could only be described as hungry. As Dennis and Amira approached, all three women turned their heads at the same time, staring them down.
It's just, Amira said and faltered. Really, they're from very far away. They're bound to have different social norms, and it's highly inappropriate to demonize them for their odd foreign quirks.
One of them approached Prince Chase in the bathhouse yesterday, said Dennis, while naked, and he fled.
So the situation resolved itself, said Amira.
Chase, running away from someone who wants to seduce him, is worrying enough. Also, the kitchens reported that the entire castle stock of sugar went missing overnight.
You can't blame our visitors for that.
Something weird is going on. Press secretary left in charge of everything, Dennis insisted.
You must see it.
Have you tried reporting to New Sarge? I mean, the Sergeant of Arms.
I've just finished doing the hour's worth of push-ups he gave me for insolence.
Right, said Amira. Her head tilted slightly as she took another moment to watch the shirtless, athletic prince running his laps.
Right, I'll take it under advisement.
Day 6. This time, Dennis's early morning rude awakening came from Corporal Sheedy, who was supposed to be on Prince Chase's detail.
Please come, she begged. With Jack gone, no one else can get through to him.
Dennis ran from the doghouse dorms up through the castle in his own pajamas and bare feet until he reached the corridor where Prince Chase and Prince Cyrus had their adjoining rooms. He could already hear the screams. Prince Cyrus's door was propped open, and there were several hounds clustered around the door, looking worried and embarrassed. Dennis elbowed his way past them. Cyrus was nowhere in sight, but his bed was covered in rose petals. Prince Chase stood there with handfuls of the things, howling with fury. What Dennis should have said was, "Your Highness," but he knew what this meant, and his voice cracked slightly as he said,
"Mate."
It had happened again. They'd lost another one. Chase whirled on Dennis, smacking him in the chest with both fists. Crumpled rose petals rained down onto the carpet.
"I'm the last one," he said desperately. "How can they all have left me here?"
Fairies. Bloody fairies. All over again. Before Dennis could even start to come up with a plan, there was a murmur from the corridor, and Prince Cyrus strode in, wearing his sweaty morning training clothes.
"What's going on? Why's all that flower shit on my bed?"
Chase made a strangled noise and threw himself at his brother.
"I thought the bastard fairies had kidnapped you," he choked.
"Not this week," said Cyrus, sounding baffled. He patted his twin awkwardly on the back and met Dennis's eyes. Is someone screwing with us? Well, yes. That much was obvious. Day 10. 10 days. How could it take 10 days to climb a beanstalk and rescue a princess? Every morning, between breakfast and his first shift, Dennis would go and stare at the damned thing, the giant green blight on the castle and their lives. He'd imagine climbing it, going to rescue Kai and the others. Every morning, he did not do it, because he had orders. It was now less than a week until the birthday gala, and no one was talking about the fact that, well, the Queen said they'd be back by then. But what if she wasn't? What if none of them came back? Dennis reported in for his afternoon shift with Prince Chase to find new Sarge shouting at Corporals Sheedy and McNamara for losing said prince. Don't worry about it, said Dennis. You check the roof, right? If he's not up there, then I know where to find him. He headed down the hill to the town that surrounded the castle and let his feet guide him to the Crown and Peg, a tavern much like all the others, except that Sarge had funneled his entire retirement savings into it, teaming up with a couple of old friends from the army. Old friends other than those who'd been magically transformed into fairies, Dennis had to hope. It was a comfortable pub, just the right side of seedy, and the beer wasn't bad. It had officially, unofficially, become the place that the hounds went on nights off, because they liked to be around Sarge, even if he was drawing beers and wiping tables instead of planning how to prevent the royal family from being murdered in their beds. The Crown and Peg was also where Prince Chase came, whenever he dodged his detail and ran away. Dennis wasn't sure if it was a deliberate new habit, chosen to make it easy for Corporal Jack and the others to find him, or arms. Still, there he was. Prince Charming. His artfully styled silver blonde hair slumped over the bar, and a tankard of mild peculiar in front of him. Pup, the Sarge greeted Dennis. Took you long enough. This one's been here since breakfast. Knew he was in good hands, said Dennis. It was good to be here. Back at the castle, everyone kept looking to him for answers. He wasn't even a corporal yet. He sure wasn't Jack. But with her gone, and new Sarge refusing to listen to anyone, well, might be time to put in for a pay raise. Dennis went to sit next to Prince Chase, on a stool that was slightly sticky. You can't keep doing this, he said. You think Cyrus doesn't freak out about you when you go missing? At least tell someone where you're going. Chase stared at the counter like it held the mysteries of the universe. How long can it take, he muttered, to climb a frickin' beanstalk? I don't know, said Dennis. But in 4 days, if our people aren't back in time for that stupid birthday gala, I reckon you and me are going to find out for ourselves. Chase lifted his head and stared at Dennis, eyes bright, smile far more beautiful than he deserved. Really? You and me? Try and stop us, said Dennis. I suppose I'd better be sober for that, sighed Chase. I mean, said Dennis, couldn't hurt. Day 12. It was Cyrus who found Dennis this time and dragged him to Amira. She was pacing around her office like it might speed time up or possibly slow it down. 2 days, she repeated under her breath in a panicked tone. 2 days, 2 days, where are they? Why ask me? Dennis said. This is not my job. Whose job is it then? Asked Prince Cyrus. That was a good question. Kai would be useful to have here right now. Even Queen Ella with her air of authority. Dennis would cut off his arm to have Jack in this room, dealing with this bullshit. But no, there was just him. Amira, he said, get over yourself. No one cares about the birthday gala. She turned on him, eyes practically glowing with fury. There are 12 dozen mushroom canapes that say otherwise, you absolute animal. Dennis threw up his hands. This is above my pay grade, mate, he told the prince. Amira, said Prince Cyrus, pull it together. We agreed we'd present our suspicions to the sergeant-at-arms today. Right, said Amira, almost tripping over her high heels as she stopped pacing. Was that today? Right. Which suspicions? Said Dennis. There were so many suspicions to choose from. The castle has been infiltrated by fairies, Cyrus told him. You know the signs as well as I do. Rose petals turning up in weird places. Sugar going missing. Shoes turned inside out. This morning, the fourth floor staircase transformed into a bluebell wood. Well, yeah, said Dennis. Obviously the castle had been infiltrated by fairies. He'd reached that conclusion days ago. What do you think new Sarge will do? Shout at them? Make them do push-ups? The sergeant-at-arms was not going to shout at anyone. When Dennis, Amira, and Prince Cyrus found him, he was lying on his back in the doghouse, one meaty hand still clenched around the duty roster clipboard, his mouth and throat filled with buttercups. He'd been dead for hours. Right, said Dennis, so the fairies have declared war on us. That's new and also horrifying. I don't have enough spreadsheets or interns to deal with this, said Amira. Prince Cyrus looked utterly helpless. Whose job is it to fix this? Dennis patted him on the back. Mate, you're the eldest son of a mostly missing royal family. You come of age in 2 days, and the Queen made you regent in her absence. I'm pretty sure fixing this is your job. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.